roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Monday. Going to be a fun show today as we recap the weekend's action. It all started off with PFL, actually on Thursday, not technically the weekend, but we didn't see you since last Thursday, so it happened. Later on that day, it was PFL 2021, week two. We'll go over those results, and then, of course, 2 days later, the UFC had their show, UFC on ESPN 23. We also have a guest on today's show. He'll be on at 9:40 a.m. Pacific, 12:40 p.m. Eastern. So if you're watching live right now, then 40 minutes away. We'll also cover the latest news. We call them news nuggets, fight bookings, drama, that kind of stuff, including, of course, Diego Sanchez in the UFC. It was a series of videos and posts on social media that unraveled throughout the week, and it ended up with the UFC and Diego Sanchez parting ways. So Diego Sanchez not only will not fight Donald Cowboy Cerrone next week, he's just no longer with the UFC after 16 years. Francis Ngannou and John Jones, they kind of went at it a little bit on Twitter. We'll kind of go over that. Grade it, I guess. Jan Kutalaba, him and Dustin Jacoby had an interesting fight, but nothing was settled. And if you watch the weigh-ins on Friday, Jan Kutalaba went a little too far, man. Wanted to start throwing some Muay Thai, some knees, grabbed them behind the head aggressively. Dana White turned red because a week prior he had said something to Sean Shelby about, you can't let that happen, man, not on your watch. And it happened on his watch. Hector Lombard and Joe Riggs have signed on for bare knuckle. We'll talk about that. And, man, this one hurts. Yoel Romero's out of his fight at Bellator 258 versus Anthony Johnson. The Bellator promotion has already gotten a replacement, so we'll go over that, and then we'll see what's next for Yoel Romero, at least according to what the people at Bellator say. MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, May 3rd. All right, guys. So this past weekend and Thursday night, we had some MMA action, PFL and UFC, courtesy of. At PFL, they had the welterweight division and the light heavyweight division on display. Rory McDonald back after 18 months. He was their big signing going into 2020. PFL canceled the 2020 season. So this was his first fight under that banner. He defeated Curtis Millender. I believe it was a one-round submission. Rear naked choke. Ray Cooper also submitted Jason Poney. Ray Cooper is the 2019 champion in the welterweight division for PFL. Zhao Zaffarino defeated Gleison Tabao. Emiliano Sordi, the 2019 light heavyweight champion, defeated Chris Camozzi. Shoeface Antonio Carlos Jr. defeated Tom Lawler. Cesar Fajeda defeated Nick Roerick. A few other fights there, lesser known names, but all fights are important. And of course, I just found this out. I don't know if you knew it goes and you were holding on to it, but only 4 advance in each division. So every single result means something in terms of those extra points you get, like Rory McDonald scoring 3 for the win and 3 because it happened in round 1, 3 bonus points. Tremendous. You know, that this kind of reminds me of the math you have to use in the World Cup when they group them and that first. Either a tie or a win, and you're like, okay, so in the next 2 games, you need this, you need that, you know what I mean? Some guys could be in trouble, even Anthony Pettis going back a week.
It definitely doesn't help out some of the big names that have suffered some losses, but the card again was really, really fun. You know, I think this week is the last week of a 3-week stretch, mm-hmm. but it's been pretty, pretty good. And I think throughout the weeks here on the show, we've been talking about just kind of the presence that one championship and PFL have offered has been tremendous. But for PFL, I know that some of the fights, depending on how you look at it, may or may not have gone their way. But as far as entertainment, it's gone everybody's way. I think it's been great.
Yeah, and they got some big news regarding this week's show. I'm sure we'll hear about it pretty soon, and obviously I hate being a tease, but I want to encourage people to check out PFL on Friday. The heavyweights are in action, and the women's lightweights, which really I should just say the women because they only have one division, and it's the lightweight division, 155 pounds. So two of their biggest stars, Kayla Harrison, homegrown, and Fabricio Werdum, big signing, big free agent signing. They are both on this fight card on Thursday, so you got to check it out. But goes, it's as simple as this. I could win two fights via decision, and I would get 3 and 3 for a total of 6. You could win a fight in the first round, so you'd get 3 and a bonus 3, but lose your next fight, and guess what? You would advance because the tiebreaker is the person that got the finish. Now, I get it. It encourages finishes, but isn't that a bit bizarre? I won two fights. You lost one. You won one spectacularly. But then again, I could maul somebody spectacularly. Robert Whittaker just mauled Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, I think he won every round, and we all went, wow, that was pretty spectacular, even though it went the distance. You know, that might be a little loophole there.
I don't really like it because it's not going to tell the true representation of what's going on. So I feel like maybe that bonus is a little too high. I think maybe they should bring it down to like half point system or something, because you're right. That wouldn't make too much sense for somebody to do that, to lose and go on when a guy won two fights. That's just not going to work out. So yeah. I wish it's too late to tweak it, right? It's way too late to tweak it.
Right, yeah.
I feel like when you're only dealing with that amount of fighters, that's probably going to come back and bite you in the ass somehow.
It wouldn't be as big of a deal if you had three shots to make the playoffs. But this year, they don't have two fights in one night. That's why they're only going with semifinals and finals. Now, I will say this. What they could simply just do is say two wins gets you in over the win and the finish, because a win's a win, for crying out loud. You know, I don't care if that one was spectacular. A finish can be spectacular in the second round as well. The win is what's important, but it might be too late for that. But I will say this, goes, how about the pressure on these guys to know that because of the point system, they got to go out there and really put it on the line. Otherwise, that's it. You're out, and you can't chase the $1 million. Now, I've heard PFL pays well along the way, but still, when you're calculating, especially as a free agent, what your year might look like, you're thinking, okay, I might fight a total of 5 times, but if I win, I get the million. Plus this and this and this and this divided by 5, you know, you're making pretty good change. But if you don't get it, wow, the rest of your year is clear, and you got to wait till the following season if you're staying with PFL, if you sign multi-year contracts. I don't know. It's interesting, man. I'm still wrapping my brain around all this.
A bonus should never be equal to the amount of points you're going to get for a win. I don't think so. So, like, if you – in football, if you score a touchdown, 6 points, but the 2-point conversion shouldn't be also 6 points, right? They're not equal. So I think they definitely need to chop down that. I like the fact that you can gain points through a bonus, but I don't want to really change the way a fight would actually play out because of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they could make the win 4 and 3 for every round that you do finish for a total of 7. That way the guy with 2 wins gets 8. And even if you won once and finish, you only get 7. So it's just fixing the scale. You know, I don't think they've been around long enough to go, well, that'll mess up season records or anything like that, as what we're seeing with, you know, baseball and some of the things they try, or even football. If I'm not mistaken, I could have sworn they voted in to do 17 games this year.
Yeah.
So what happens to the guy that goes over 2,000? Is that as big of a deal as when O.J. Simpson did it when he was doing it over 14 games instead of 17 games? But whatever. All right, we're jumping around in sports. Let's jump around to another promotion. UFC on ESPN 23 took place on Saturday. Huge, huge win for Jiří Procházka, who defeated Dominic Reyes in the main event. Let's focus on that first, and then I'll give you the results from the rest of the fights, including all the bonuses. But we say this a lot, but that KO is in contention for KO of the year, bro.
Yeah, Yuri looked great up until, I mean, he looked great the entire fight. And Dominic had his moments, but yeah. Dominic has just not looked the same really lately. He's been trying to do the same thing over and over, and that's kind of like out tough the guy in front of him. And that's going to work a lot of times, but it's not going to work every time. At some point, you have to kind of throw in some kind of strategy to make an adjustment on why it is you're getting hit with some of these shots. And he wasn't really doing that. And so when Yuri finally came in and added that elbow on top of everything, that spinning back elbow, I mean, that's really, really tough. And right now, you look at a guy like Dominic Reyes, I don't know what to do with that guy going forward. I mean, obviously, rest is going to be a big thing, but he may be crushed spiritually, like maybe a camp move or something. But yeah, that was like a combination of Yuri looking really, really well, and then Dominic as well, just not really making adjustments in this game.
Yeah, he got one takedown, and I'm thinking, I mean, look, we're Monday morning quarterbacks at this point, but Prochaska, when you look at his resume, and it says 22-1-1 in his last 24 fights, I think he's won 12 in a row or something like that, like 8 in the first round, a couple in the second, but this was going to be a 5-round fight, and Reyes fought well at times, all right? He really did. But the other kid just kept coming. And I'm wondering, like, was the game plan to exhaust his gas tank? And if it was, how were you going to do it? Because Yuri had a pretty good pace going. And we really don't know if Yuri can go that long. We know Reyes can go that long. But we also know that Reyes lost round 5 against John Jones. And that probably cost him the title because, in the end, John Jones was just stronger in the championship rounds. But Yuri just hits hard from all the different strikes that he has, and they're all thrown with bad intentions. I think you got to get that guy off his feet, and you gotta wrestle him, you know, especially if you have wrestling, which Dominic Reyes does. And I think you got to get that fight to the later rounds. At least that's from what I can tell. He's only had 2 fights in the UFC, but I've seen him in Rising, you know what I mean? Now, King Mo knocked him out, but he also knocked out King Mo. You know, and then, but other than that, he's been starching.
Yeah. Now, the future definitely looks bright for him. And I'm sure, I think later on in our spinning back click segment, we're going to get a little bit more into where he's going to go from here. But there are little things that got taken away in that Reebok era. We always talk about your personality and I guess now your Venom era. But just the hair is something that I think everyone will always remember. You can't forget this guy because the easiest thing, even if you go, how do you say his name? Yuri Propopa, like you would go, the guy with the hair, boom, you would recognize him. Like this performance was just the best result that he could possibly get in this fight because people know who he is. He's not going to be forgotten. That's a highlight reel that it's got to be included in the Babo O'Reilly. I mean, it was pretty vicious. Everything went perfectly for this dude.
You know what might have been the worst part of that strike was the landing. Did you see the way his head hit the canvas, his neck? Wow. Yeah. Hope he's
like, okay. Like Rocky in Rocky 3, right? Just straight down.
Straight down, man. Our best, the Dominic Reyes, who's lost 3 straight, including the Jones loss, Lahovich, and now Yuri Prochaska. And as far as Yuri Prochaska, you know, he says, hey, I mean, Dana said the winner of this fight could get a shot at the title, but here's the problem with that. The light heavyweights are going to fight. So, sorry, let me say it this way. Jan Blachowicz is going to defend against Glover Teixeira in September. That's set. We're in May, so we're a full 4 months away from that fight. Right? Yeah, June, July. Yeah, 4 fights. I don't know, man. I guess if Prochaska feels like if you knew for sure that that fight was going to be in September and you could get the winner in December, I think if you're Prochaska, you chill. You know, because the title shot's yours. But here's all the things that can happen along the way. There can just be some sort of an injury, like Sanhagen and Dillashaw, where, hey, I got headbutted. We got to back it up by about a month or so. So now we're into October. Still not as bad, but now that pushes your fight to maybe January of next year. Still not as bad. But then you can also have maybe the type of setback that Alexander Volkanovski had. We're not wishing this on anybody, but I'm just saying – it's all tangible evidence. Well, not tangible. It's all evidence. It's all stuff that's happened here, real stuff. And Volkanovski and Ortega should have fought last month. Volkanovski had a bout with COVID, and now Volkanovski and Ortega are coaching, and they're not fighting till the end of the year. So imagine if that fight got delayed for whatever reason. Again, we don't wish COVID or nothing like that on anybody, but just for whatever reason, if that fight gets backed up, now Jiří Procházka is looking to fight maybe, what, next March or April? That would be a whole year off. So my point is, I've always liked this. Put yourself on the same card. Fight someone else. Get paid. That one guy, fill in the blank. We'll just call him Samson, all right? If you're fighting Samson in September in the co-main event, your insurance for if something happens to Glover versus Lachowicz, you probably obviously hope that of the two, it would be Teixeira that can't go. That way you can fight for the undisputed. But whatever. Or maybe you're just not insurance and maybe you become the headliner. I don't know. But you stay on the same timeline. The light heavyweight division gets a bigger, bigger spotlight on it. And you get another paycheck. And remember, if Samson's so good that they're thinking that they could match you up versus him in the co-main event, it just means that when you do fight for the title, it's probably likely you're going to face Samson anyway. So if it's about matchups or whatever, you're probably going to get to Samson anyway. But if it's about, whoa, hold on a second, I want to get to the title as soon as possible so I can start making that money, maybe I get that. And you don't want to risk losing to Samson, but what fighter that's at that level thinks that they're going to lose? If you think you're next for the title, it means you're ready. If you just beat Dominic Reyes, that shows me you're ready. So I don't know, man. It just seems too far away for me for Prochaska to wait for the winner. What if Teixeira and Blachowicz is Congo and Bader or something like that? Or it's a controversy and they got to run it back. You know what I mean? Immediately, judging decision or referee decision or something, and they just go, man, it's too hot, it's too good, we got to run it back. There's so many things that can happen. I think Prochaska looks like he could benefit from one more fight before the title shot in terms of just getting his name out there, getting paid or whatever. But what do I know?
I hear you, and I don't think you said anything wrong. But I think I would wait around. But what I would do is say, hey, Dana, how about you just pay me to make weight, you know, in that championship fight, make a little paycheck that way, stay relevant, be around. I think that's the big thing. He's got to be Clubber Lang for this fight. He's got to be in everybody's face, everybody's ear, have the media interview him. I would just want to be around, collect that paycheck, and if something does happen, then I slip in. But I think I might wait this one out.
Yeah, it's not the worst option in the world. I don't know, man. I've just seen the way things go in different directions. You know who else is a wild card in all this? John Jones. You're gonna tell me that if Lewis and Ngannou doesn't get signed, and Jones just says the heck with it, although he's putting up videos that show him enjoying the weight he's put on and focused on that. But I always wonder if that wild card just comes back for whatever reason. He's just going to say, excuse me, and go right to the front of the line, regardless of what happens. In regards to making weight, Glover Teixeira did that. The only thing that I wonder, though, is how hard you actually pushed yourself, knowing there was a chance you may not be able to fight. And if they do call your name, if you're sitting there going, oh, I didn't prepare myself as good as I was going to fight, because most of the times they just need you to be the backup. They pay you when you go home, you know, which is the easiest money ever, especially if you didn't give it your best in training camp. But I wonder what the letdown is to those that have gotten the call and they weren't ready.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I think sometimes that does happen. Like when Glover had to do it, I don't know that he was in the best of shape or really looking. But in this particular instance, I think knowing it so far out in advance, I think he would be ready. But that's just one thing.
The only drawback, obviously, is what if I lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if I take the fight on the undercard against the proverbial Samson or whatever, and I lose? But fighters aren't wired that way, and you're going to have to fight Samson anyway if it's all about the matchup. I don't know.
I don't think a lot of fighters are wired that way, but I think there's a good amount of them that do kind of keep it real a little bit.
If he can fight by December, then he should wait. But I'm telling you, man, I've just seen this thing go. And I mean, remember when Amanda was going to fight in December and she postponed it? I forget if it was an injury or she just wasn't ready because of the birth of her daughter or what. And then the fight wound up happening later, 2021. I guess there's versions of both, man. There's the easy money payday. Who knows? All right, enough of that. Congrats to Jiří Procházka. He looked great. That's the way we can sum it up right there. So did Giga Chikadze, who took out Cub Swanson in the first round. Kick to the liver, and then some follow-up ground and pound, and that was it. Chikadze's now won 6 straight in the UFC, 8 straight overall, and he's calling out the likes of Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar as a plan B. He did it very respectfully, and I kind of, you know, if he goes too far, you're like, come on, kid, don't get cocky. And if he calls someone behind you, it's like, come on, kid, where's your drive? How are you going to get closer to the top? You can't win with these. But the fact that he called somebody out is a good thing. You can always use that in the future, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the Kattar one sounds more realistic. I think Holloway's going to wait out the winner of Ortega versus Volkanovski, which, again, is that delay game, you know. By the time Holloway fights again, could be a year. I don't know. But Giga looked good, and that body kick just shut him down.
I like that he's shooting for the stars, but I don't think he's going to get those fights. And I don't know if they're going to want to put Calvin Kattar in there against them. But actually, you know, the fight that I really like is someone like Yair, I think, is the next step. I think that would be a good fight.
The thing with Yair is he tends to get hurt. And I don't know. He never really fights with any frequency. Like, you just don't know what he's doing. And if you follow him on social media, you'll see him pop up in Vegas, in Chicago, I believe, in Arizona. Like, I don't know. Like, how long are you going to get better? You know, are you just sharpening your tools, or what's the deal? I keep waiting for that fight. I've seen him possibly against Magomed Sharipov, who's, you know, as a possible matchup. That's been talked about for a while. By the way, he had a suspension, right? Yeah, here?
Yeah, didn't he have a little suspension? Because it came from, like, not answering the app or something stupid like that, right?
You'd be right, yeah. Well, there you go. He's so far off my radar, I forgot that. That does ring a bell. Did you hear about Magomed Sharipov might retire?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. It says here he's been eligible to resume fighting since March 8th, 2021. So it was just a slap in the wrist. It was retroactive to September 8th of 2020. It was announced in December. So he already could have fought, you know, unless it's not tactful to book someone until that it's officially over. But I don't think that's the case. You know, I think
you've done that before.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love to see that name. By the way, is Ige in Korean Zombie official?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. The rest of the card unfolded this way. Jan Kutalaba and Dustin Jacoby had a split draw. What does that mean? A draw could be 28-28 three times. Or it can be a split draw where one guy gets whatever score, 29-28. The other guy gets whatever score, 30-27 or 29-28. Doesn't matter. But then the third judge goes 28-28. It's a split draw, in case you're wondering. So no win bonus either way. Kutalaba scored a 10-8 in one of the rounds, and that's how we got there. There were no fouls. The Friday weigh-ins, Kutalaba reached over and grabbed Jacoby by the back of the head. And again, normally I'm into those type of antics, honestly. But I guess ever since Stevens shoved close and he managed to hurt his neck and then that fight was off, I've kind of been rethinking, do I want these or not? You know, it's not like I'm not getting it. I always think the casual fan loves to see that type of stuff. And sometimes it can garner some pay-per-views because people just love it, especially if it involves the participants. Even Anderson, when he was wearing the mask, you know what I mean? Like, those types of things, a good, intense stare down, I think, does its job, is worth its money. But that's just too much when you reach behind and and pull that guy's head, and he pushed you away, and who knows what could happen, because once you start touching each other, that's when the fists fly.
I just think it's weird that, I mean, literally, you know, what, a couple weeks after we're seeing this again, like, that to me is just fighters not being really self-aware of what's going on. And in front of the boss, you know, it's not like it was Sean Shelby this time. It was Dana White. So I just thought, yeah, those two instances probably didn't work out. For the most part, I'm like you. I usually like when there is something, but in these cases, it didn't work out. So what do you do? What do you do going forward? Because what's going to happen is this. If you were to say you do something like that, the fight's off, you know that's not going to work across the board. You know some fighters are going to get cut or whatever, or their fights are going to get taken off, but other fighters aren't. You're not going to do that in the main event, right? So how do you police it? I don't know. You make them ineligible for a bonus? Like you said, there is some value to a little bit of heat. I just don't know how you would police something like that.
Maybe ineligible for bonuses?
Maybe, but then nobody's going to do it, right, at all.
Well, we're not saying you can't get in each other's space and, you know, I'm actually not even a fan of when they touch heads, because I feel like someone might give that push and then the other person really comes in with their head and you could get a cut, like probably what happened to TJ Dillashaw. I'm not saying he was practicing stare downs and that's how it went down, but I'm just saying you can get a gash or something like that. I don't know. I thought the shove was harmless, honestly, until homeboy got whiplash from it. And it was really unnecessary. I don't think Close did anything to defend Jeremy, and I don't think Jacoby did anything to offend Kutalaba. And I mean, look, I'm not going to dig in on a Thursday night and see if they're going at it way down in the comment section of their Instagrams, or maybe a look was exchanged at the fighter hotel or whatever. But I would think that it's got to be something serious. And if it's that serious, the UFC's aware. And if they're aware, then they pretty much – have security very close by, and Dana's already got the arm right in the middle. But how about Dana admitting, well, not admitting, but you kind of could see he was shaking his head going, oh, man, you know, here I was a week ago railing Sean Shelby, and now I'm the fool.
Because it's wrong. It's just the wrong point of view. I understand what he's saying, that, you know, you got to be cognizant of what's going on. But at the same time, like, that's just not – that's not the president of the UFC's job. That's not a matchmaker in the UFC's job. That's more of a security's job. You know what I mean? That's just not their place. So I would never blame somebody in that situation. Now, there is a big difference, though, between the shove. To me, that's like a dig on your opponent. But this, going behind his head, to me, that's the start of a fight. If that were me on the other side, like, I was surprised. I think Dustin Jacoby's next move probably should have been a strike. I would think we're in a fight at that point.
Well, he kind of put his forearm in his neck. It was more like a flame rather than a strike. But I don't know. I remember Amanda kind of did something to Valentina, and Valentina kept her cool. I don't know. I don't know what they can do. But I think one of the things I've noticed is, like, if you don't make weight, you know, you're just not eligible for a bonus. So guess what? If you touch your opponent, you're not eligible for a bonus. But secretly, I don't think the UFC wants that. I think the UFC probably doesn't, other than this last shove, probably thought, a little bit of a flare-up is not the end of the world as long as strikes aren't thrown. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The good things, their camps aren't out there. Like in boxing, that's where it can turn really, really ugly, because in boxing, they'll have like a guy, two fighters, and then their camps are all really close, and that stage is full, and it's packed in there. Here, it's the two guys and the president, and I think everybody respects the president and the matchmakers enough to know this can't get too out of hand. And again, if we know it's going to boil over, then that's when the matchmaker, then they should be aware of it. That should be security's job to let them know, hey, these two have been going at it in the back in the line here, or in the hotel, or on social media. Let's just have them not cross this line. You know, the tape that we're going to put, have the matchmaker already stand, maybe even like this, you know, and then just bring them in slowly and talk to them. Come on, boys, let's go. You fight tomorrow and that's it. But I just thought Jan Kutalaba was way out of line, and he happened to be way out of line fresh off us losing a fight, and that's what makes it look worse. But who knows? Maybe we shouldn't change anything. All right. Let's get back to some winners and losers. Sean Strickland defeated Christoph Jocko. Mirab Davishvili defeated Cody Stamen. Luna Pinedo defeated Randa Marcos. That was an illegal upquick disqualification win. We'll get back to that in a second. TJ Brown defeated Kai Kamaka. How that happened, I don't know. So I thought Kai Kamaka won all three rounds, but I did. There was one round where I thought, well, that could go either way, even though I still lean to Kai Kamaka, but I didn't think he lost two, much less three. Mm-hmm. Or no, 229-28. It was a 30-27 in favor of Kai Kamaka. By Adelaide Bird, by the way. Luana Carolina defeated Poliana Botello. That was fun, man. Those girls went at it. Carolina dug deep and stayed in top position. I think that's what won her the fight. Loma Lukbomi defeated Sam Hughes. Andreas Michalaitis defeated KB Bueller. Felipe Colares defeated Luke Sanders. Now, let's talk about a few things here. Did you have any thoughts on TJ Brown versus Kai Kamaka? Are you as outraged as everyone else? If you look at MMA decisions, that was one of those landslide ones. And I think you could get away with saying that was a robbery.
I just thought it was very clear. You know, like I don't understand. I don't know if you were to put that judge, if you were to go back and talk about it, what their stances would be. Because to me, it was very, very, very clear. You see the outrage on social media and the things that get thrown out as far as like people forget what the way fighters fight. There's a win bonus included there. You know, that's very big. So it does suck that these certain type of things happen. But that one to me was... yeah, I think robbery is the highest word, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it high?
Robbery, yeah. We get too cute and call it something else. We're just not going to get fist bumped. So I think robbery is kind of the accepted term of the absolute worst that could happen in combat sports, which is like Pacquiao and that kid from New Zealand or whatever, Joe Horn, yeah.
He had two of them, the Bradley fight.
It was a Bradley Pacquiao fight. There's a few, you know, where you're just like, what? But full disclosure, I bet Kamaka. I live bet him, and I bet him. So maybe that's why it stung more. But still, you know, you run to MMA decisions, you run to Twitter. Even Big John saying he won the fight. He had a nice shout-out on Twitter, I believe, to Kai Kamaka and Eric Nixick. He said, you guys won, you know. But it was a good fight, by the way. And I thought that fight was any good fight of the night, which meant Kai Kamaka could at least get 50 Gs. But then they gave it to Yuri Prochaska, who double-dipped twice. So let me just tell you that real fast. The bonuses for the fight card went to Reyes and Prochaska for fight of the night. Performance of the night went to Prochaska. And the other one went to Chikadze. I have no problem with Prochaska getting 50K, man. And same with Giga, you know, that kick is beautiful. But fight of the night, I thought maybe that could be a good way to reward Kamaka, you know, because even if Kai Kamaka wins, I still would think it's fight of the night, which would mean Brown deserves it too. Now, that said goes, Reyes and Prochaska went at it. Like, they hit each other with a lot of strikes. You could hear the leather to the flesh. It was a good pace. So I'm not as outraged to believe it or not. Maybe I'm just feeling more for Kai Kamaka, wishing he could get himself maybe one of those, I think they call it backstage bonuses or whatever, you know, undisclosed pay or whatever, and just get a check in the mail. That'd be nice.
The main event, for as bad as it ended, it wasn't really one-sided. Like, Dominic Reyes had his moments. He hit him with some good shots. He backed him up a couple times, but yeah, I could see that. I mean, look at their faces at the end. Just the shots they were delivering were all pretty much power shots.
Yeah. How about the fight that ended with the controversy? Well, the upkick, the Randa Marcos and Luna Pinedo. The controversy comes from when Luna Pinedo first got upkicked, and it was illegal. We're not saying it wasn't. But when she first got upkicked, her first reaction was like, you know, like, what'd you do that for? And all this is happening fast, folks. So it's not like she went into full act mode and then act two. You know, it wasn't like that. Basically, it was an upkick, and she was like, what'd you do that for? And then all of a sudden, there was this flop, like a sniper had taken her out, you know what I mean, from some other building. And she was just completely out. And, you know, fans, it's not going to sit well with you, you know, when you see it that way. And, you know, some people even say the same thing about Sterling. I thought Sterling took a vicious knee, you know. But there's a lot of people that study human behavior. I know you did. That'll tell you, nope, when it happens, this is how they act. This is what they do. This is what they say. This is, you know what I mean? And there's some people that are just saying, nope, it don't jive with me. In the end, look, they were both illegal strikes. And it's just one was very costly. One, you know, one was a title loss for Peter Yan. Mm-hmm. And here, yeah, I mean, this one wasn't for a title, but that was it.
I'm one of those people that say it's just so hard to say what a person's feeling. But in this particular instance, the way you look at what happened, the way she reacted, I'll just say this, it didn't look very good. It didn't look well. And then afterwards, the corner even went as far as carrying her out, like into the backstage, like a baby, you know, like it just seemed like a lot was put into that. But I don't really like using those words when it comes to fighters and saying somebody faked or anything. I'll just say it just didn't look that good.
And then when they get the eye poke, or sometimes they start asking questions, and if I don't go, is it a disqualification, or is it this, is that? Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways fouls can unfold, and it can either look good or not look good. And then there's some fighters that come back and say, yes, I'll fight. I'm a warrior. They get the round of applause, and then they wind up losing. And then I was seeing three people in there. I wasn't the same. And I don't know. You just hope that doesn't happen. But I don't know what Randa Markos was thinking. I mean, it's not like it was close. She was literally on top of her. I mean, I don't understand what you know. That was egregious, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That's the fight card for Saturday. Went over the bonuses. They were at the Apex, so no attendance, minus a few, and no gate. Diego Sanchez versus the UFC. You want to talk about that fight?
Sure.
So Diego Sanchez is no longer with the UFC. He's not obviously fighting. He's done. He's done with the UFC. He's not fighting Cowboy Cerrone. And a series of events happened throughout the week. But the gist of it is basically forget about the confrontation with Joshua Fabia and the announcers this past July in Yaz Island, Fight Island. Forget about that. That was unnecessary or whatever. That's a whole other subject. But let's just focus on this fight. According to Team Diego, they wanted to get Diego's medicals because this was going to be his last fight in the UFC. We don't know if he was going to retire altogether, but we knew this was going to be his last fight in the UFC, and they're saying they wanted to get the medicals from the UFC so that going forward they would know how to address, you know, any injuries that might still be needed to be dealt with. And in doing so, they recorded the phone calls between them and the UFC where they were discussing this. Along the way, the UFC became concerned and said, well, what are you trying to tell us? Like, are you ready to go for this fight? And according to Team Diego, they said, yeah, we've already passed the medicals. We're past that. We just want to ensure that we have our hands on everything once we retire, you know, so – I think Fabio even said because he's had some boo-boos, joints in his hands or whatever. The UFC brass sent him an email and they wanted him to respond to it. And basically in the email, at least according to Diego, it was kind of like an absolving of everything that happened up until now. You're good, right? Now going into this fight, we'll obviously deal with whatever happens in this fight. But in there, the UFC also said, we're just a phone call away. We would help you deal with whatever in the future. I'm pretty sure I heard that. So, you know, we'd have to ask other retired fighters, is that true or was that a special case for Diego? Because, I mean, he is a legend in the sense of he's from season one, the longevity. He's had some great fights. He was a title contender, fought in four divisions. You got to give him that respect. Could the UFC maybe be going out of their way? We've seen him go out of their way for certain fighters. I thought it was just Chuck and Huser special. But Spencer Fisher, if you read about that story, he used to get a monthly stipend, you know, and he was taken care of in one way. So you got to give the UFC credit for that maybe that's what they meant. I don't know. But in the end, Diego's attorney advised Diego to not sign that. And that caused the UFC to say, you know what? We're done. It's like you pay. We're going to fulfill your contract. So it's like you fought. Here's your show. Here's your win. And here's your Venom outfit money. You know, it's no longer Reebok. And that's that. And that's when Diego started releasing some, you know, some of the videos of what may have led to it or whatever. And it's a whole mess. But, man, I mean, people were talking about it all week last week, and that's why I think it's worth bringing up.
Yeah, it was a huge mess. I don't – it sucks that somebody that's been with a company for that long, that things had to get to that point, that something couldn't just be resolved. But, you know, I just don't like the way that it was handled, honestly. I understand both sides of the coin. I understand what both sides are saying. And I think both sides should be able to sit down and go, man, at the end of the day, I think there's just some sort of miscommunication here in what it is we're trying to accomplish. And I think that's because it was went about the wrong way and probably at the wrong time. Both sides are probably at fault. But I'm like you. I kind of feel like this could have been resolved.
Yeah, because let's say what Diego wanted was his medicals. Give him his medicals. You know, like that shouldn't be. But I would think that along the way, you kind of get a copy of everything too. So did you do a poor job of holding on to your stuff? I don't know, but it shouldn't be that tough. I mean, every fighter can just go to the PI and go, hey, run my blood and let's go through a battery of tests or whatever. Now, this is close to the fight. This is really, really close to the fight. So who knows how long this has been brewing. But I don't think that would have been – it wasn't an unreasonable ask, and I don't think it was the UFC would have not given it to him. I think they showed some concern, but I think it's the right way because who knows if they were if Diego's team was spelling it out in a certain way, like, hey, man, you know, we have some concerns or and that's why the UFC said, well, look, address this right now. Are you healthy? Can you go for this fight or not? Do you have any neurological problems or whatever? And they elected not to sign that. But that's what I think could have got worked out, you know, because CTE can't be diagnosed now. They got to open up your brain, you know, after you pass away, and that's when that can be diagnosed. But a lot of the neurological stuff, they keep that, you know, they keep those tests. How good was your memory 3 years ago, 10 years ago, or whatever? They do those tests. I think a fighter should do that after every fight, personally, or at least 2 times a year, whether you fought or not. And see what and if you have any cognitive issues, and if your body is responding to the way it is, and then the UFC provides that. So I don't know. I think that one just could have been worked out between the attorney and the UFC. Why the UFC, when they said no, but this was like our concern, that's where the conversation phone should have been lifted up again, and they should have talked that out. Hey, my attorney says this, but can we come to some sort of a solution? You know, right now. I think what Diego wanted, because it's not like he didn't get paid, he did, but he mentioned he wanted that roar of the crowd, which there wasn't going to be one. They're at the Apex. But maybe just the acknowledgement of that final walk, those emotions, I think that's valid. I don't know.
He'll still get that one day at a Hall of Fame ceremony. I hope that this
didn't. Do you think the UFC actually was trying to say, nah, dog, if you say you're 100% going into this fight, then we're good? Or was the UFC just trying to say, hey, you're not fucked up trying to get into this fight. We really are concerned about you, Diego. You know what I mean? To me, it didn't seem like the UFC was trying to clear their names of anything, honestly. I know the UFC gets a lot of pushback on that. But to me, it was just like, hey, listen, because how many times have we heard behind the scenes that a fighter – tore their knee in camp. This was before they had the full-time medicals. They'd go to the fight, and then they'd say, oh, I tore my knee in the fight. You know what I mean? You could tear your knee going up the stairs or whatever. Or in round one, I felt a pop. No one can ever say, you know, that you didn't. So, I don't know. But I thought the lines of communication were a lot more open now with the PI of how this promotion, you know, tries to take care of their fighters. I think all that could have been resulted in a call. Now, here's another thing that doesn't work for Team Diego is when one of the calls is over, you hear some giggling in the background, and that, to me, sounds, you know, unprofessional. The only thing I could think of is, could they say, oh, we had a buddy in the distance and he was BAing us? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You know, we can't speculate all that stuff. But it could have been worked out. He could have had a more proper ending, a better ending, and he's not gonna. That's it.
The call didn't help them. Posting that call didn't help at all. I thought that's where you could kind of see the UFC's reasoning. And you're right, that the laugh at the end didn't help at all.
Yeah. I'm trying to give a little nudge to our guest. Hopefully he didn't oversleep or forget. Merab Dvalishvili was going to be our guest today. All right, moving on goes. Did you see The Thrill and the Agony that was released by the UFC? So that's behind the scenes with the fighters, the camps.
The Usman Masvidal? The Usman Masvidal one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I love those things, man.
Me too. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was cool. You know, I love seeing the perspective. I like the one that you really want to sit and tune in for is Jorge Masvidal. You know, how'd he take all that stuff? What happened afterwards? All that stuff. So that's pretty interesting. This one particularly didn't really like reveal too much like some of them had before, but they're still kind of interesting. Just the angles of seeing things from different angles and seeing like family members and their reactions. And it's always
Pat Barry. I think Pat Barry was the star. I remember when he retired, he says, I'm done. Now I got to concentrate on Mama Bear. I remember he called her that and he was going to train her and focus on her, and boy, does that paid off. You know, he never got to be a world champ like her, but it seems like that doesn't bother him one bit. He couldn't be happier for her. And just him telling her, you're the best. I told you all along, you're the best, you know. And Rose is so emotional. I mean, Rose is an absolute G. Imagine crossing her, you know, if back in the day or whatever. She'd probably fucking throw you in the lockers or whatever. And now she's got the skills to back it up. You know what I mean? But yet she can also tame it down and be so nice. I know the time she's been in the studio, she answers all the questions, she giggles or whatever. I know she's got, like I say, that hard side to her, but I think that's in her past. And now she's just trying to be a really, really good person, but she's very emotional. But still, man, that I don't know. I'm a big fan. I bet you she's got to be one of the top five stars for the UFC right now.
I think she's up there. She's very, very likable, yeah. When she's believing in herself, she can do anything. I think she's got that skill set.
Yeah, and then listening back, Jorge, again, took it like a champ. Says, the guy's got my number. I wasn't prepared for his power. I didn't feel it the first time. I thought we were going to wrestle. But he got me, you know, and salute to him. And he exits by high-fiving some fans, and that's it. That's all a fighter can do, you know. There's no – I was telling teasing goes because the Dodgers lost the game the other day in the extra innings. I was like, relax. There's like 130 more of these. We're going to forget about this one, you know, come October if they make it that far, which they probably will. But for fights, every day you wake up and there's probably something, you know, haters on social media, your future opponents or past opponents that are piping off. And then the reminders, you know, the videos that they play, Usman's interviews that he's doing, they always come with B-roll or pics, the thrill and the agony. I mean, it just doesn't go away. You know, you got to have thick skin and a good, strong psyche and foundation. Otherwise, that thing's got to eat you up. Some people press the panic button and go, give me another fight. I just want to get in there. I don't care. I want to get rid of the cell, you know, and others can deal with it better. But who knows? Who
knows? Jorge's got some money to spend, though. I think he's going to take his time.
Yes, but it's a lot different when you can Versace out, private jet, do whatever. You know, I want to get myself a watch. And, you know, when you can do all that, but you're coming off a win, it's a lot different than when you're coming off a loss. I'm not saying the money's the same. Yeah, you're right. You're just as rich, all that. But fans are fickle, you know. But I think your hanger-ons, too, your friends and family can be fickle, too. You know, like, that's just the truth, honestly.
You know what he's got to do?
Yeah.
He's got to do what Conor McGregor does. Just pretend you won. Just act the same way as if you won. people follow. I'm telling you, these people that hang out with these type of fighters, they're followers. They're just going to follow you no matter what. Just pretend you won. Have the same swag. Just move around. Do the same things, man.
I don't pretend you won. You got fucking knocked out.
Well, no. I'm not saying, like, say you won. I'm just saying carry that same swag.
Oh.
Just keep moving around the same way.
Yeah. Well, it's to the same guy. That's a good thing. Hey, he had my number. And what you do is time heals all wounds. If Colby or whoever's next for Usman can beat Usman, then now you have an in versus that guy. You know what I mean? Because if Colby can beat Usman, but then you can beat Colby, then you have like a little bit of a round robin between the three guys. Mm-hmm. Or if it's Luque or whoever else, there's Ali Abdelaziz, the manager for Kamaru Usman, is saying he'd rather not be Colby, and he's pushing for Chiesa or Luque. Luque's coming off a big win, and so's Chiesa, but neither guy's being a top five guy. And I guess Luque did catch Woodley on the way down, so caught a former champ. That's important. A recent former champ, because I think Chiesa caught Condit, right? Let me look at Chiesa real fast. By the way, Mirab Davishvili says he'll join us soon. He just needs a couple more minutes. Michael Chiesa, what's his biggest win? I just don't think in my head he's kind of earned. You have to earn at least that number one contender shot, and then you're in. Magny, Dos Anjos, Sanchez, and Condit. So on a technicality, Dos Anjos and Condit are former champs. Dos Anjos did it in the division below them, and Condit did it in the WEC, and he was an interim champ in the UFC. So he did catch two former champs, but I think Luque was a lot closer to catching Woodley off his reign than when Chiesa caught Condit off his reign. So I just don't know that he's built up enough of a case. Plus, here's another thing. Dana already said Colby's next, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that one too much. I understand where people are coming from, but it's just all already set in motion, and it makes sense.
Yoel Romero is out of Bellator 258. He won't be fighting Anthony Johnson. It looks like some testing didn't go his way, some pre-fight testing. So now Jose Augusto, who's 7-2-1 overall and 1-0 in Bellator, is going to meet Anthony Johnson. It still stays a quarterfinal matchup. So he's in the tournament, or he's in the Grand Prix, I should say, versus Rumble. And that's that. Romero's out. Now, Romero could fight later on in the year. I suppose he could sub in the back way, you know, if something happens along the way. But he did not receive medical clearance. Reportedly, it was an eye issue. So if he can clear that up, I'm sure Bellator would still like to have him in time for just another fight, you know. I mean, the division's going to go on regardless of the Grand Prix. So that's unfortunate. That's kind of not the A side. I'm not saying there was an A, B, C, and D side to it all. But if there was, this was it.
It's probably, yeah, one of the main reasons you tune into the entire thing was for that fight. But I don't know if you remember, if you read the article or not, but it says like he's not eligible to even try again for, I think, another month or 3 months or something like that before he can even attempt to say, am I cleared now?
That part I didn't see, but I just read the first part. Oh, I'm trying to do it as fast as I can here.
But it was an eye issue, right?
It was an eye issue, reportedly, yeah. This was the initial one that I saw. We still have Archuleta versus Pettis, Augusto versus Anthony Johnson, Frady versus Peter Queeley, Derek Anderson versus Michael Page. It's really not a bad card. And even Rafael Carvalho stepping in against Lorenz Larkin. Hey, Rafian Stott is on the card. Logan Storley's on the card. So Henry Corrales is on the card. Eric Perez. They got Patchy Mix. Wow. They got some good talent. It's just not buzzing. It needs the buzz. For some reason, Bellator needs to create a buzz like what Strikeforce used to do. It could be that because the UFC wasn't throwing as many events and they weren't on ESPN, Strikeforce could slip in, you know, on certain weeks and create this big buzz that would get everybody all fired up. Bellator, it's tougher because now they're battling one PFL and the UFC and all the events that they shove down your throat.
But there should be, you know, there's some good fights. Now we got to get hardcore MMA fans that think the UFC fights are super entertaining to watch these fights because they're going to be entertained, you know. Hopefully this matchup doesn't kill it.
Yeah, I've never really understood that. If you love fights, if you love the UFC, I don't understand why that same fan, why not every fan also likes Bellator or PFL or – I don't know.
Because that fan thinks the UFC is the NFL and Bellator, PFL, and ONE are in no particular order, NFL Europe, Canadian Football League, and Arena Football League. And not hardly anyone tunes into that. Everybody's all about the NFL. You see what I'm saying? That's the part that, you know, if it was more like, oh, UFC is the Premier League, but the other leagues are Bundesliga, Serie A, where you're like, oh, shit, those games are good too. I want to watch those. But the UFC's created something, and they shove a lot of fights down your throat, and they just do a really, really good job. They got, you know, a lot of really good fighters. You feel like you're watching something pretty special with every UFC card, even the ones where you look at them and go, what? That card's not that deep. And so Bellator needs to kind of create that a little bit.
Yeah. What do they do, though? How do they do it? More? Do they have their fighters do more press, more interviews? Is it more commercials?
I think the UFC killed it in terms of they do it so frequently that on off weeks, people are living, you know, going to the movies or parties or happy hours or watching other sports or catching up on Netflix. There's just – we just have too many options now is what it boils down to. You know, think about your Netflix queue and then someone goes, oh, you haven't seen on Amazon Prime? Go check out this show. And then somebody else goes, bro, you got to go to HBO Max and check out this. No. You can get to that when you go to Apple TV and watch Ted Lasso. I mean, it never fucking ends. That's just that form of entertainment. Now throw in your regular life, you know, people inviting you to dinner and happy hours, over to the house, other sports. Like the NFL draft is pretty – it's something, you know what I mean? I used to watch the whole draft, and now I only watch till my team drafts. Luckily, we were third, and that's why I was able to go to that dinner with you and Squid. Otherwise, it would have been like, oh, you know. And but I knew that we need to start getting back out there and being social and doing stuff. So I missed out on a few of the other things of what was going on. And I didn't want to be the guy that was just checking on my phone. I wanted to enjoy the dinner with you guys. And I'm glad I went. I'm glad I did. But these are events to people, you know. Those are things that people are willing to say, I'm going to file Bellator or ONE or PFL back here. Not on pay no mind, but I'll check you out later. And watch this. And nobody really files the UFC on I'll catch it later. You know, that's rare if you call yourself a true fan, in my opinion.
I think they need more commercials. I couldn't even tell you what the commercial to this event looks like. This weekend, I heard that stupid Pet Shop Boys like a million times, man. I was on the verge of calling State Farm and going, enough with you guys. I'm done. Tell Jake to pack it up. I'm going with these guys because I couldn't take that commercial anymore. It was embedded in my head.
Maybe State Farm?
No, it was not.
With Allstate? With the Pet Shop Boys?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I must have heard that commercial about 30 times.
I like the Pet Shop Boys and I like that song. So it hasn't gotten old for me, but I hear exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. All right. So, again, folks, Romero's out. AJ is fighting. The Grand Prix goes on. And I don't know what to do. We've been waiting for Marab, and he hasn't popped in. He said, I just need a couple minutes. So wait a couple minutes, but can't wait too long because we have spinning back click. And may have to do rankings report as well. It's been a few weeks since we've done that. So let me just do a little bit of reminders. You can check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo for full videos of the UFC press conferences. Like you get a pre-fight, but post-fight is a wealth of knowledge. You know, you catch up with a lot of fighters. Sometimes Dana White pops in there and makes an appearance. So check out the whole thing at youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. A lot of the interviews that you see, not just Goz and I, but that the whole staff does, you'll see a clip that accompanies the recap on MMA Junkie. Well, if you're wondering how the rest of the interview went, go to the YouTube channel. Just subscribe. You might as well let the system tell you when something gets uploaded. Also, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. And the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. We have a Facebook. We have an Instagram. Instagram went over 1 million followers. I know Facebook's up there as well. So check it out. And I think the social media team, which we've never really identified a team that way. We always talk about our writers, you know, our writers slash reporters, our editors who also do some writing, the radio team, the videographers. But I want to give a shout out to Mike Bond and Danny Segura, who really do a good job of holding that part up, getting stuff posted to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our Twitter page, things like that. So I want to give them a shout out. I don't know that we've ever designated them as a social media team, but they seem to be the ones mostly involved in that. Here on Sportscaster, you can do what Goes and I do, and you can do it for a whole sport. Like Goes and I come in here, we cover MMA, but I've seen people say, I'm Lakers only. I'm with you every Laker game. So there's Laker channels. There's I'm the SEC football guy. So I guess that would be a conference channel. I'm the baseball guy, you know, so he's a whole sport. I don't know. I've seen older people do it, older gentlemen, young kids. I've seen people come in and do play-by-play. It's hilarious. So check it out here on Sportscaster. Y'all have a good time. And as far as Merab Dalvishvili goes, we did cross 10 a.m., and I suppose we can just take the L here because he hasn't hit me back and he hasn't popped in here. And we can just maybe have him on as a off-the-air interview.
Side interview.
Yeah, because we have Mondays are usually pretty busy. So I'll let him know. Sorry, folks, we didn't come through. I really wanted to talk to one of the fighters from this past weekend. But look out for some interviews we got coming up with Ray Cooper, who won at PFL last week. We have Lillian Garcia, the the in-ring announcer for PFL, formerly of WWE, and now she's with PFL. But she's awesome, man. We're going to talk to her. We're also going to talk to Rory McDonald, who had a nice win over Curtis Millender, Merab Dalvishvili, and a few other fighters that we have stuff coming up. So you'll see recaps throughout the week. And, again, you can catch the whole interview on MMA Junkie YouTube page, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. So with that, we're going to exit. Enjoy your day, and we'll see you all on Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Kenny Florian will be our guest, and we'll talk to you then. Go out there and be a champion.